Today we celebrate this feast day of the baptism of the Lord at the Jordan River. This feast day officially brings the Christmas season to a close, even though many people will continue to celebrate the Christmas joy until the presentation of the Lord on February 2nd. But tomorrow you'll notice we go back to the green vestments, go back to ordinary time. So officially the liturgical Christmas season ends today. I thought when Pope John Paul II added the mysteries of the Rosary, the five luminous mysteries, it was a brilliant inspiration of the Holy Spirit to add the baptism of the Lord at the Jordan, because this mystery, I think, is so important. So let's take a look for a few moments at the baptism of the Lord at the Jordan River. Why did the Lord submit to baptism? Well, when you read the fathers of the church, the doctors of the church, the catechism, it reminds us that the Lord did it to fulfill all righteousness. That's what the scripture says. He did it to fulfill all righteousness, to do the will of the Father. It was the Father's will that the Lord submit to baptism. It was an act of humility when the Lord went down to the Jordan River and approached John the Baptist and was willing to be baptized. John even objected and says, you should be baptizing me, not the other way around. And the Lord said, well, let us do this for now to fulfill all righteousness. So the Lord submitted to baptism to give us an example. The Lord himself did not need to be baptized, but we do. So because the Lord did it, then he gives us the example, we need to get baptized. The Lord also went to the Jordan River to show his approval for the person and the mission and the teaching of John the Baptist. See, the scribes and Pharisees were wondering, was John's baptism authentic? Was this the will of God? And when the Lord went to the Jordan River, he gave his approval, gave the stamp of approval for the mission and the work of John the Baptist. And as many of the fathers and doctors of the church say, the Lord did not submit to baptism to become holy, but to make the waters holy. See, Jesus was not sanctified when he was baptized. He sanctified the waters. That's why even today when you go to the Jordan River is holy water. The whole thing is a river of holy water. When you use it for a baptism, you don't have to have it blessed. When you go over to the Holy Land and bring back Jordan River, make sure if it's in your carry-on, it's less than 3 ounces. But you can check some holy water, and you never have to have that blessed when you do a baptism. See, always the priest or deacon blesses the water at a baptism, except if it's Jordan River water, you don't have to bless it. It does remind me of a story. I think a priest went over there, and he brought back some containers of whiskey, and I think he put them in holy water bottles. And then when he went through customs, the police officer tasted it and said, this isn't holy water, this is whiskey. And the priest says, glory be to God, another miracle. So the Lord sanctified the waters of the Jordan. He also did this to manifest the Blessed Trinity, to give the Father the opportunity to reveal the Blessed Trinity. When Jesus came up out of the waters, it says the Holy Spirit came down upon Christ in the form of what looked like a dove. And then the voice spoke from heaven. God the Father said, you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. See, there is the Trinity manifested. Jesus, the Son of God, coming up out of the water. And then the Holy Spirit descending upon Christ, anointing him with the oil of gladness, anointing him as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Anointed One, and God the Father speaking, this is my beloved Son. So the fathers and the doctors of the church say that the Lord, of course, represented all of humanity going down into the tomb and being raised up. Some of the fathers have called baptism a liquid tomb because you go down and to die to sin, and we come up born again. Again, the Lord had no sin, but he took all the sins of humanity with him into the liquid tomb, and he rose from the dead. And so lastly, I would just suggest that when we think of our own baptism, we should be reminded of the blessing of baptism. That's why we want babies baptized as soon as possible after birth, so they can receive sanctifying grace in their soul. They can have original sin washed away. So when we get baptized, we become adopted sons and daughters of God, children of God. We have original sin washed away. And if we're baptized as adults, all personal sin washed away as well. In baptism, we receive the indwelling of the Trinity within our soul, making us temples of God, temples of the Holy Spirit. We receive sanctifying grace. We become living tabernacles of God. Baptism incorporates us into Christ and his church. We become members of Christ and his mystical body, the church. Baptism enables us to receive all the other sacraments later on. It breaks the power of the devil, the power of Adam, and we now belong to Christ. It also gives us an indelible imprint of the Holy Spirit upon our soul, and it infuses us with the supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and also the other virtues as well are infused. So all that happens by our baptism. Christ was the only true Son of God, but when we're baptized, we become adopted sons and daughters of God.